RadioLeMond.com coming to you with our coverage of the Dubai Dunlop 24 Hours, powered by Nissan. It's John Hindorf and the team for the whole weekend with live coverage of practice, qualifying and the whole race, and our broadcast partners at Motors TV as well. I'm up in the grandstands with a fantastic view over pretty much the whole of the circuit, but down in the sunshine and enjoying the atmosphere are our powered by Nissan pit lane crew of Jim Roller and first Nick Damon.
Down with the pit lane, there's the cars are being wheeled down, getting ready for the promoter test. There's a lot of action, a lot of engine noise. At the moment, it's a mechanic zone, as the drivers are staying out of this fantastic weather. And as we look down past the selection of the very varied vehicles we have here, there's R8s I can see. I can see Porsches. I can see SLS AMG GT3 cars from the Black Falcon team. It's a remarkable combination of entries in what is probably the premier 24-hour race within the outside of Europe, I think it has said now. As we're looking going past the area of the driver, let's see if I can just grab a quick word with one of the GT Academy drivers. Hang a second. Yeah, quick word. And we'll start. Of course, we are the powered by Nissan pit lane. And one of the drivers, perhaps one of the most interesting drivers here for the Dubai 24 Hours, also powered by Nissan. It's the winner of this year's GT Academy. It's Jan Marlenborough. Jan, your feelings now? You're about to take part in the big one.
Yeah. 6 months training, started since July. This is the main prize for winning 2011 GT Academy. And I just can't wait to get started.
So how much running have you actually had in the GT4 car? Have you run around here? Have you run around other circuits?
Not much running actually here in Dubai. It's the first time here, but I've had plenty of running in the UK in the GT4 car and the SP8 car we're using today.
Now, I noticed that on the lovely banners we have above the pit lane where they put down the car number and who's driving, you're down to drive both cars now, both the 120 RJM Motorsport 2 car and the PlayStation Academy. Is that a printing error, or will we be jumping into two cars?
If we have a problem with our own car, the SP8 car, it's just a backup plan so we have some running in the 24-hour race. So we'll be running the GT4 car if you have any issues.
And are you guys taking advantage of this free test coming up?
Yeah, exactly. We're going out in a minute now. So I'm third out. And just can't wait to get behind the wheel again.
I mean, well, a few months ago, you were at a not particularly warm Silverstone, because Silverstone never is. You won GT Academy. You came from behind because of your amazing performance improvement. I mean, give us an idea of the last 6 months to get here.
It's been fantastic. I've loved every minute of it. I've been abroad 7 times this year, last year. I've raced all over the UK. I've raced in Zandvoort. It's been incredible.
And do you still get time to play on the PlayStation, though?
Yes. I had a winter break a couple of weeks ago, so I was on back home in Cardiff, Wales, and I'm playing on Gran Turismo 5. And now I'm here in Dubai, ready to get started.
Yeah, I wish you best of luck. And now, as a beautiful segue, our American correspondent, Jim Roller, is with the American winner of the GT Academy.
Funny how that works. Brian, welcome to Dubai. Your first trip here. Are you excited?
I'm definitely excited. This is amazing. I'm on the opposite side of the world from where I live, and it's my first time over here. Really looking forward to the all-gamer lineup in the RJN Nissan.
How long have you been in Dubai?
I got here Monday morning.
Same time we did.
Yeah. Have you gone over the jet lag yet?
Yes, I have, actually. I cheated. I spent a couple of days in England, so it was only about halfway. But what are your thoughts of Dubai so far? Have you seen it for a couple of days? Pretty exciting.
Yeah, it's a pretty unique place. I've never seen anywhere like it. The circuit, I went around for a few rental car laps this morning, and the circuit looks really interesting. It looks like a great place to race. I'm going to go out for practice pretty shortly here. I'm looking forward to it.
Now, any butterflies before this is your first big international 24-hour race?
Yeah, I'm always a little bit nervous before a race, but I think for me that helps me to stay focused and stay on task with what I need to do.
It's been quite a journey from gamer to a 24-hour participant. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's been a complete 180 in my life. It's been an amazing program, taking me from playing Gran Turismo to racing internationally. I mean, I can't say enough about how awesome the program is, giving somebody the opportunity to do what they love, who wouldn't normally get that opportunity. And it's totally my dream to be racing, and it's amazing all the things I've been able to do so far, and hopefully there's more to come.
That was a real boot camp to start at the beginning. You started in England in the GT Academy, and then all the way through. What have you been doing since you won GT Academy?
Yeah, since I won back in June, Jan and myself have been in a driver development program. So I've been actually living in the UK, racing a lot, working my way up the license level to get my international racing license in preparation for Dubai. So I've had quite a bit of seat time this year, which has been great, to get to know the car and the team, and it's been a really amazing program.
Well, best of luck to you.
Thank you.
And now Nick has one of the divas.
Well, I've got someone who's much easier on the eye, and I think a good example of the two ends of this fantastic event. We have the ultra, you know, professional Nissan-backed PlayStation team and the GT Academy, and then we have the people who we like to talk about, the real enthusiasts and the racing divas team running with a Renault Clio, and it's Sheila. I'll let you do your own surname, Sheila. It's Sheila.
Verschuur.
Now, give us an idea of how your entry to Dubai came apart. There's five of you, five girls, five Dutch girls.
Yeah, it was the dream of us to drive together in 24 hours. So we are looking for sponsors, and now we are here to drive with the five girls.
So have you got a lot of experience of racing in general within the team?
I drive here for the fourth time now, and we never drive before with the five girls. So this is the first time when we are together.
So how did the previous three races go for you?
The last race when I drive here was in 2009. I was third in our class.
So you have a kind of a unique experience then, because you've also been in some of the slower cars. What's it like when you're out there when there's 65 or 70 other cars of different speeds? Is it a very difficult challenge on this track?
Yeah, you have to look at your mirror so that nobody hits you, and that's the most important thing, I think.
I mean, it's interesting. You've raced here a few times before with you know, men and I'm sure other ladies. What's the difference between running in an all-girls team?
The exposure, I think, and it's really fun together.
And of course, you're in a little Renault Clio, am I right? You're running a little Renault Clio, is that right?
Yeah, we're driving in a pink Clio with all of the little hearts on it.
So you're hard to miss. Now, have you run that car before here, or is that the car which you bought especially for this event?
I drive the last year also in the Netherlands, in Europe, and in the European Cup.
I've watched quite a bit of Clio racing, certainly Clio racing on the British Touring Car package, and it's famed for, how shall I say, lots of contact. They seem to crash quite a lot. Now, that's not what you want here. Also, the cars are only, you know, designed to last half an hour. How different is a Clio for a 24-hour race than the one you'd have out in the Clio Cup?
We have several things changed of the car, but the most things are the same when the Cup car.
And is it a case really where you drive in a way very defensively, you just let people through, you don't have any fights?
Now, yeah, the race is long, so the first hour you're not going to race against somebody else because it is 24 hours, so that's really long. And you need to drive constant, and that's the most important thing.
Sheila, wish you best of luck. It's a great entry, I think, something which we can definitely follow because it's a nice different colour and a different car. No problem, we're going to get confused. Thanks very much. So it is interesting, of course, within those 24 hours, something that those who follow 24-hour racing generally, one of the things that struck me, because I was told, because is that here in Dubai, because of course it's January, we have 12 hours of darkness. So rather than the 6 hours, the 5 or 6 hours you get in Le Mans, we have 12 hours of darkness. And I believe that as I wander down the pit lane, young James is with another team with an American flag. It's United Autosport.
With me is Matt Bell. And is this your first trip to Dubai?
Yeah, this is my first ever time over to Dubai. It's the first time the team have ever been here to Dubai, so it'll be pretty interesting to see how the Audis go around here. I'm definitely looking forward to it. Walked the track yesterday and had a little go around in the road car. It looks a brilliant place.
What were your impressions in the road car?
It seems to be quite a technical track from first impressions. It looks like it's going to be quite challenging. Following people, there's all sorts of different lines and things, so it looks like it could be quite tricky to learn to actually get the optimum line, but shook up my head into it okay, and looking forward to getting around it.
I know John on Need to Speed Shift had all kinds of different lines.
Yeah, I imagine the PlayStation lines might be a little bit different to the real lines. It's also, I was struck by how dusty it is, especially it's going to be pretty dusty to start off with, so that might dictate things a little bit at the start as well.
One of the things that impressed me so far in just our short time here is the hospitality and the welcome that people have given us. They're really, it's fun to come to a racetrack where they're really glad to see you.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's an incredibly friendly place. Exactly what you say, you're welcomed everywhere you go. The hospitality is brilliant. The organisers have been very efficient so far. I've been very impressed with that as well. So my whole experience so far has been a very positive one.
What's this car like on over a long distance haul?
The Audi is brilliant for 24 hours. It's a comfortable car to be in for starters, which is always important for long stints and things like that. It's great in every aspect. It's touch wood, it's been pretty reliable so far as well. We've done a couple of 24-hour races at Spa before, and it's been very good around there. We've had very few problems, so hoping to continue that form here, where you know, particularly with the heat during the daytime and the amount of traffic out there, keeping out of the garage and keeping out of trouble is going to be a pretty important part of the race, as it is for all 24-hour races. So luckily I think this car is going to be pretty good in that respect.
Now, United Autosports is an American entrant, but it's a League of Nations drivers-wise. Tell us a little bit about the teammates in your car.
As you say, it's a pretty eclectic mix of nationalities in the car. I haven't driven with Frank Yu and Roger Wills yet, who are from Hong Kong and Australia. I met them for the first time today. Obviously pretty nice guys and very experienced drivers in their own right as well. And I've driven with Mark Patterson for 2 years now with United Autosport, so I know him pretty well, and again another excellent driver, so really looking forward to getting in the car with those guys. I think we have a good lineup, and as I say, the important thing for us is going to be to stay out of trouble, which those guys historically have been very good at as well. So I'm excited about the lineup, and the team's history with 24 hour races is pretty good as well.
Well, it looks like they want to fit your seat, so I'll let you go. Right. Get back to work. Good luck. Thanks for your time.
Well, Jim, again, we've now moved down to one of my favourite cars, but a team I've not heard of. It's Optimum Motorsport. I'm who are driving one of the Jetta G50s, and I'm with driver...
Joe Osborne,
there we are. See, I can't remember a name for more than 30 seconds. This season. Joe, this is rather better than the English weather. I like meeting other English people because we can sit around and talk about the weather, which is the key thing, as anyone knows. British people, foreign country, the weather.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice waking up in the hotel and instead of having to look out the window and guessing what tyres you're going to be on and just opening it, there's not a cloud, so we're going slicks today. So, yeah, it's lovely. It's going to be hot in the car. I mean, the Ginesta is one of the worst. It's got the engine just in front of your feet, so all the heat comes back towards you. So it's going to be hot in there, but it's good hot.
Now, a bit about the car, because obviously the G50 we know and love in Britain from the support package in the British touring cars. We're used to seeing them in very action-packed 20-minute races. I mean, a 24-hour car, what do you have to do to make it last a whole day here in the heat of Dubai?
Well, the weak point of the car is its gearbox, just how all the heat sinks into it. That's the first thing to fail. So we've just sort of upgraded the radiators on that and tried to keep it as cool as possible. But I've raced a Ginetta in the European GT Series, and it was the first year we took it into Europe, actually, and we won the championship. So it's a quick car. It's just sort of stretching it out for the reliability that we're all a bit nervous about. So we will be short on our practice laps.
It's interesting, Joe. It's quite nice for you guys. There's lots of classes here, but there's actually kind of a subclass of Ginetta G50. I think you've got four or five of them, haven't we? So you've got real deaf cars to go for. You know, being the best G50 is a real target.
Yeah, definitely. As you said, there's five of us out there, so we've got someone to race against all the time. And then I think the SP GT4 class is 16 or 18 of us, so it's going to be quite a good sort of sub battle below the A6 class for people to keep an eye on, hopefully.
Give us a bit of an overview of Optimum Motorsport and your teammates and the experience of the team.
Well, the team's been around since 2005, and I've known the guy since then. Sean is a team owner, and the guy who's sort of really putting the money behind the effort, Lee Moll, is a guy I instruct and has got into racing in the last couple of years. So myself and Lee are two of the drivers, and we've got Gary Sims and George Morrells, both race with Optimum and other series, and both good, young, quick drivers. So we're actually really confident of our driver lineup. We've got three young, quick drivers, and then we've got Lee in our sort of our gentleman mould, who's also a quick, consistent guy. So we really couldn't be asking for a better driver lineup.
And you've got some 24-hour experience as well.
Yeah, I mean, as a team, we've really tried to get ourselves prepared for this as best we can. You don't want to dive in at the deep end, sort of 6,000 miles away from home. So we did Brit Car this year as a bit of a learning curve. It started off well. We put it on pole in class, but unfortunately, we only did 4 hours. So there's a lot of lessons learned. That's the main thing for us coming here.
And will you be out for this free test later, or are you saving those gearbox miles?
Yeah, we're going to do a few laps. We've decided that we need to learn the circuit in the car and try and scrub some tyres in for the night practice as well. So we'll be out there, but we'll be short shifting and doing two-fingered gear changes on her.
Brilliant. Wish you the best of luck. And I noticed that my friend Mr. Roller has found the true superstar of the pit lane and one of my favourite men. It's Jörg Müller.
Joining the Saudi Falca team this year is Jörg Müller, and you guys have got some nice kit. These BMWs are pretty nicely turned out. They're beautiful.
Well, the car has developed a lot from last year from 2 years' time to last year. Did a big step forward. BMW developed the car quite well, got more downforce, a little bit more power, so it's really nice to drive the car.
Now, you told me this is your second trip here to Dubai. This is a lot of fun, isn't it?
Yeah, I tell you, it's a long time ago. I did my first race here in 2004. I think that was the opening race of Dubai Circuit in ETCC. And yesterday I walked around the circuit and it looks completely different. Like turn one, there's a big grandstand now, and it was desert before. So, I think it takes a few laps until I'm getting into a rhythm again, but I think we can get that sorted.
Well, for a factory driver like you to come out to an event like this, let you dust the knock the dust off from the wintertime a little bit earlier than the rest of your competition, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, it's brilliant coming to Dubai, especially if you come from Europe at the moment. You know, it's freezing, it's cold down there, and then you get into the sun, be at the beach, because I arrived already on Monday, so I had 1.5 days off. I really enjoyed the time here, and I love this country.
Now, you came here straight from Daytona. How did your Daytona test go?
Well, it went all right. It was a quite new experience for me in Daytona because the car is a tube-frame car and we've got these radial tires, which are different to drive, let's say, this way. So it takes a while to get used to. And after Dubai, I'm going to go again to Daytona for the 24 there. So hopefully we have a good result here and then go to America.
Then after Daytona, maybe the winter test at Sebring for the American Le Mans Series?
Probably, but the winter test is, I think, a little bit earlier than Daytona. I think it's on 23rd, 25th or something like that. I'd probably go there as well, but at the moment I don't know.
Okay, well, maybe we'll see you there.
Okay, hope to see you.
What about this race? Any expectations because you're driving the car that's the defending champion?
Well, you know, it's always a lot of pressure if you are driving the number one car, but it's also an honor. So I'm really looking forward. I know Team Schubert from a few other events, from Nürburgring. I drove Oschersleben for them in the GT4, so I know the team. It's a really, really professional working team. And I just have to do my job good. And then my expectation, of course, is to keep the number one and bring it back to Oschersleben again.
Yeah, well, best of luck to you.
Thank you very much.
Jörg Müller, one of the great pros that will be competing in this event, and a man who has got a lot of 24-hour and 12-hour experience.
Well, I think, you know, as we walk down the pit lane together, Jim, after a bit of a flurry of interviews, it's pretty obvious that even though we're a day away from any official timing action, the excitement's already building. And what is very obvious is how impressed everyone is with the organisation of the event, the smooth running, the fantastic facilities, and I suppose also the fact that they get to have a lot of laps, this fantastic circuit.
Oh, and it's for everybody to come here at this time of year, as you heard Jörg say, in Europe. Time of year, and we've got snow sometimes, so it's great to come out here, and also it's great to kind of knock the rust off a little bit. It's fun to come out and see you guys and get ready for the regular season.
The great things was earlier on is we are now hearing for the first time in 2012 racing engines and some proper racing engines. We've had some fantastic Ascar, give you some V8 Chevy action. We've had some GT3s warming up in all sorts of engine configurations. We've got 12s, we've got 10s, we've got 8s, we've got 6s. You name it, we've got just about everything we're going to have. We're going to just going past now the writer engine, Peter Cox, as he was just getting in the car. Let's see if we can. I'm going to try a completely random World of Doorstep interviewing, okay? I'm just going to go next door to Rhino's light part and see if I can grab a word with the driver. Hi.
Hi.
We're from Radio Mon. We are just randomly talking people with overalls. Your name is?
Mikko Vähämäki.
And you're running with the 29 Lamborghini?
Yeah, with Rhinos.
And is this your first time in Dubai?
Yeah, it's my first time in Dubai. I've only been doing GT3s for 1 year. That was last season.
Now, you're from even colder place than we are. You're from Finland. It must be fantastic to get the sun here for you as well.
Yeah, well, it's like minus 20 in Finland now, so it's amazing here.
So tell us how a lad from Finland ends up in Dubai and running what can only be said is an absolutely fabulous-looking Lamborghini.
Yeah, it's all so fabulous now. Just can't wait to get on the track and try that thing.
So is your experience your local GT3, or have you done Blanche Pain? Give us an idea of your background.
I did last year 3 races of Blanche Pain and a couple races of German GT3.
And so, I mean, was this an aim, or did you think, I really want to come and do this event, or did suddenly you go, oh, my GT3 driver, I might see if I can get myself a nice bit of a sun and a 24-hour race?
Yeah, well, the 24-hour races are the best thing of 3D racing, and just can't wait off the race.
Now, obviously, you're probably used to doing a couple of hours in the Blanche Pain. You're going to be doing, well, at least 6 hours, I think, or perhaps even 8 hours of driving in the 24. How have you prepared for that?
Yeah, well, I've been training all all the months before this and just drink water and try to do it.
Now, the teams here, we shared with Tobias Nauser and Jean-Marc Merlin. Do either of them have Dubai experience? Does the team have Dubai experience? Is it all just a brand new thing for all of you?
Yeah, the team has done this race a couple times before, so I think they all have experienced this before, so there's lots to say for me.
You're just a newbie. Thanks for talking to us. Best of luck and enjoy the test. So, all sorts of people. It's very interesting, I think, really. You know, you've got people who are running in things like Blanche Pain, who are running in other international GT3 series, who are coming here, gravitating here. We've got 75 car entry. I think 26, possibly 27 of those are GT3 cars, and top flight machines as well. Exotica, so much so that Jim has got himself stuck at the Reiter engineering garage and can't walk past the car. It's so lovely. As we now, we are actually currently walking. What we do, we're actually walking from pit in to pit out. There's no rhyme or reason to the allocation of pit box. Obviously, with 75 cars, there's lots of sharing. Just going past the AF Corsa Ferrari GT3. Can't see anyone there we can talk to, but remember, this is AF Corse. These are the guys who we know and love from winning everything going in GTE last year. And interestingly, this happened yesterday as well. When you get down towards the end of this pit lane, it gets a lot quieter, Jim.
Just like yesterday. It's much quieter, much more laid back, and there was quite a bustle. The guys at Ryder are getting obviously going to be in that optional test session this afternoon. Peter Cox is suited, booted in the car and ready to go.
Man, we're just walking past the golf team area. We have 3 golf racing cars. Two of them are the GT3 Lamborghinis, and the third one is one of their, well, you'll certainly recognize it's a GT4 spec Aston Martin, but again, none of those cars look like they're going to be taking part in the promoter test, or perhaps they've already just gone through the engine warming procedure. I would expect that most of the cars will go out. It's a 4-hour test. The track will be open the entire 4 hours, so they give them an awful lot of track time. We have a very, very condensed program tomorrow, where we have free practice, followed by a second round of free practice, then qualifying first everybody, and then splitting into groups. And then we have night practice. We'll be quite busy tomorrow, Jim, aren't we?
Oh, they'll be working all day into the night. And what I found interesting in looking at the timetable a couple of weeks ago, most places when there's a 24-hour race, the day before the 24-hour race is short. Here, it's action-packed. You're here till 8 o'clock, and then you have to be back tomorrow morning because they start the race at 2.
And going past us then, that was on the pit lane, waiting at pit exit with the light red. That is Peter Cox in that car. Now, interestingly, one car that's missing from the garage we're walking past, and no surprise here, it's the J-Lock J-Lock Lamborghini. Though this one is hopefully going to be one of their high-level efforts. They were certainly very interested to be here. And obviously, the brings a point here, I think, is the vast number of nationalities that are here at this event.
Yeah, it's 32 different countries are represented in this race, and it's organizers calling it much like the Olympics at the press conference this morning. So it's people from all over the world. And the other thing that I find is the mix of nationalities within the teams I find very, very interesting. At United Autosports, for instance, an American entrant, but there's only one American on the team. You have Brits, Hong Kong represented, you have Australia. It's a wide range of folks.
Yeah, I think being where Dubai is, A, it's the beginning of the season. There's nothing to clash. B, the weather's fantastic. But C, of course, you're kind of half. You know, you can get it from Europe. You can get it from Asia. You can get it from. Obviously, it's one chance for the locals. And there's a lot of racing. If you think about it, we were talking last night. There are four F1 grade circuits within 100 miles of here. And I don't think that happens probably anywhere else in the world. Perhaps you could do a cycle from Nürburgring, and then you get Spa and possibly Hockenheim. No, only two then. So there's the biggest concentration of Grade 1 licensed tracks in the world around here. Lots of local racing. I suppose the one area where you don't see a lot of entries from, because it's a very long way away, is America, isn't it, Jim?
Well, but this year we have Vic Rice is here, Shane Lewis is here. The American entries are starting to get interested. This event, just like others, is starting to catch the eye of the world stage, and I think you will see the entries from the United States increase. For the same reason, it's a great fun place to come. It's a chance to get the racing season started off a little bit earlier than everybody else back home. You can come run the 24 hours here before even Daytona, and much before the 12 hours of Sebring. So it's an opportunity for Americans to get away from the cold weather in America as well and get some racing under their belt early in the season.
So the second car comes past us, and in contrast to the Lamborghini GT3, it's a Mini. It's a Mini, I think it's a 1600 Mini with a small turbo running in one of the SP classes. It's one of the A classes. There's a GT3 is the A6 class, and you have SP2 and SP3, which are mainly GT4s and some specials, and then you come down to the A class, which are all based on fuel and everything else. Now, we have been talking amongst ourselves for a while, which is very naughty, and we are going to try and find some drivers, but I think at the moment there's quite a lot of people thinking, are we going to go out now? Shall we get ready? What are we going to do? There's also still a few bits of cars being worked on underneath the car. I think there's plenty of time where there's chances to get drivers going round. But there is, interestingly, it does appear that if you've got a Lamborghini, you're quite keen. Lamborghinis are very keen to get some practice in.
Yes, and this is an event that they fully subscribe. This is an event, that an endurance event. There's more Lamborghinis here than I can ever remember seeing in any of the endurance events that are major events like this one around the world.
Pounding the pits, patrolling the paddock, the Nissan Pit Lane team bring you all the news as it happens.
My name is Fredrik Lestrup. I'm coming from Sweden, so I speak a lot of languages. And I'm driving for a German team, Besa Plast Racing. I'm driving with a Mini. It's not one of the fastest cars, but one of the most funny cars to drive. So,
we just talked about that. At the end of the pit lane, there's a couple of GT3 cars, and then there's a very nice racing Mini. I mean, is it... Where is it? You know, we haven't seen Minis racing before, so how quick is it compared to, I don't know, a touring car? Is it the same sort of speed as that? Is it slower than a touring car?
We have, of course, put the horsepowers up a little bit, so it's quite fast, but it's not like the Porsches or a really good touring car. It's not, but still a good car.
And is it a full racing platform? Has it been completely reworked, or is it more of a car that's had some amendments done to it?
The car is actually built by BMW Motorsport as a Mini Challenge car. It's a one-make series for the same cars, and we have rebuilt that one a bit. So the platform of the car is really, really good. And but it's difficult to make a good long-distance car.
Yeah, but Mini Challenge, like a lot of the cars here outside the GT3s, there's a lot of cars which are designed for, you know, half-hour racing in Europe. I mean, what do you have to do to turn that into a 24-hour car?
Of course, it's the fuel tank. That's the first thing. You need to have more fuel in it. I think the original fuel tank is only 40 liters, so you wouldn't get so far in it. But then we try to make it more, take some weight away to make it lighter. And of course, to save the tires and the stresses of the car. So
mechanically, the engine's totally fine to run 24 hours. The gearbox is totally fine as well. So you haven't got any of those rebuild issues on those.
No, it's almost standard. So, and that's the meaning of it, to keep it simple and to make it last.
Now, you said earlier you managed to tweak the power up, but obviously it's a turbo. So how much more power have you got out of it than you would have in Mini Challenge mode?
In Mini Challenge mode, the original John Cooper Works standard, we have 211 horsepower. And now I think we have something around 270, 260.
So, because the rules here are just about capacity, aren't they? It's how many cc you are, whether you're a turbo or normally aspirated, and then it's all done on weight and fuel allowance. That's right, isn't it?
Yeah, that's completely right. I'm not so into the regulations, but yeah, that's right.
It always pays to read them occasionally. Now, yeah, it's interesting because there are a couple of other Minis. Are you trying to win your class or just beat the other Minis?
Of course, we want to win the class and, of course, beat the other Minis. The other Mini teams are also from Germany, also driving the Mini Challenge, like this team is, my team. So, of course, the first goal is to beat them, and then we will see.
And are you the only Swede here, or are there many of you?
There are actually, I know, two more Swedes driving one of the Heiko Mercedes cars. So some international guys are here.
It's great. Well, best of luck. Enjoy yourself. Thank you very much indeed. And I think, yeah, it's great. I mean, one of the marvelous things is again this very positive attitude. Everyone's really embracing the whole concept of this multi-class racing, and this is multi-class racing because you've got classes within an overall class. For example, I'm pretty certain that the Jetta G50 battle is going to be every bit as intense between themselves as it will be at the front of the grid to win the entire event, because you know you always it's like any sport, you one person you want to beat is your teammate, so someone with equal equipment. So if you see someone with the same car, so effectively equal equipment, then you've got to go after them and see what you can do. And it's as we actually see one of those Jettas coming past, there's two of the Jettas coming past us. They're about both 118 and the 117 car are going past us today because they want to take part in the event. And we move now, we go to one of the guys at the front of the grid with the Saudi Falcons. And it's Faisal Bin Laden. Faisal, nice to talk to you finally in on tape. So, well, you're going to win, aren't you?
Hope so.
I mean, the car is magnificent. The Z4, it's there's a pair of them here within the team. But you're telling us that despite winning last year, it's an even improved car from last year's victorious machine.
Yeah, I hope so. They said that there is a new upgrade on the aero kit, so that should help us hopefully in the corners.
Now you're here. You're very casually dressed. Are you using this test just for the guys who haven't done many laps at Dubai, or will you be hopping in later for a couple of laps yourself?
Well, some of us who has never been in Dubai before, and also we've never tested the car before. So most of us will be learning the car to see how it handles, and also hopefully the setup to fix it.
So this car has not even had a shakedown anywhere?
I don't know. You should ask the team, really, but I'm sure it's ready for the race.
Now, it looks stunning, and I believe you've used one of Radio Le Mans' friends, Andy Blackmore, to help design the livery. Is that correct?
Yes, he actually designed it. I only fitted the logos on at the end, so...
Yeah. It's striking. I mean, how important is it? It's an interesting thing here, really, because the cars look great, but how important is it to you, as the man who's promoting the event, for the cars to look aesthetically really good as well as being quick?
Well, a lot of people said a good car is also a very-looking good car. So they have to be good in looking to perform good on the track.
Now, your team, I think you're a five-driver team. I mean, are you five-driver or five? Yes, five up there. It's five on the list there. I have no idea how many are driving. I mean, how do you share the hours? Do you actually do it completely evenly, or if someone's a little bit quicker, they get an extra couple of hours? I mean, how is that tactic played out on these multi-car teams, or driver teams, sorry?
Well, I hope the most thing is that the faster people stay in the long car most, but also this is a fun event, so everyone has to have the most time so that they feel relaxed and satisfied after the event.
Is there any rule about how long the maximum amount of time a driver can drive, or the minimum? I mean, it'd be impossible. Could someone, for example, drive the whole 24 hours and have some sort of Iron Man?
I think the rule here in the regulation says that 2 hours is maximum for one stint, so we'll change after 2 hours maximum.
Now, you were saying that the other interesting thing about the course this event is that it's all based on lap time, and you have to meet a target lap time for your class. And if you don't meet that lap time because you're too quick, then they'll take away. What happens then?
You get a time penalty. But the name of the game is consistency. You have to be consistent in times and avoid penalties and also some trouble with other cars.
Now, the other thing that's quite good about this event, especially at this front end here with the GT3 cars, I mean, we always know that balancing GT3 cars is very different, is you've got a three-pronged way of doing it. You've got the lap time, you've got weight, and you've got fuel capacity. And that fuel capacity is quite interesting because whilst you can have a tank as big as you like, am I right in saying that you're only allowed to put a certain amount of fuel in at each refuel?
Yes, exactly. So, as I said, consistency is the game, and you have to be consistent at everything, you know, to the maximum limit.
Now, this is obviously, if there's just the two of you going around an empty track, that's pretty easy, but there's going to be a huge amount of lapping. So how do you modify your time to make it account that one lap you might get stuck for 5 or 6 seconds behind slower cars?
Well, you have to try, you know, to be as much careful. If you see some cars in the front coming, you know, slower cars, you have to anticipate when you overtake them and how you overtake them. You know, they might not see you because you're faster, so you have to be safe to save your car and save the other cars and... You know, obviously a code 60, God forbid, or something like that. So,
now you're a resident of this area, so you know this track very well. I mean, a lot of drivers who've been here are praising the circuit. What makes this such a good circuit?
Well, the fun thing is that there are a lot of cars, and you keep overtaking, you know, consistency throughout the whole 24 hours. So it keeps it interesting for the drivers. You know, you keep overtaking and...
Any particular corner that's a lot of fun? I mean, some of the switchbacks, some good off-camber stuff.
Well, it's all fun, you know. The whole combination together is perfect. It makes it really nice.
Well, thank you very much. Best of luck. Thank you. That's Fazl Bin Laden from the Saudi Falcons. And they will be almost certainly, reliability, hopefully they will be almost certainly at the front come the end of the 24 hours. But they are up against an absolutely massive amount of competition. There are cars, 26 cars we think in GT3. We will confirm that obviously when we get the full official entry list, which is changing by the moment. But we'll have that for you tomorrow morning, the final entry list. I think I'm going to try and do another, let's see if this person wants to talk to me, who is he attempt, and see if I can talk to somebody else. I think maybe driving... with the Black Falcons. Let me see. This is good. Now, I'm doorstepping this man. Now, I know he's English because I can actually see his English name. And it's actually Sean Edwards. Sean, that is a very, very, very noisy Nissan going past us. Sean, welcome to the pit lane. Welcome to Dubai. Is this your first 24 hour?
No, far from it. I've done maybe 7 or 8 24 hours. Be the third one here. But we've definitely got probably one of the most competitive lineups here in the SLS over there. So I'm looking forward to a good 24 hours. Obviously, anything can happen, but we're here for the win.
Team Black Falcon with I'll say it now. I think it's by far the best looking car on the grid. I just love the thing. I saw it actually for the first time in this guise at a test day in Snetterton. And it's much nicer here. I don't know what it is. It's something to do with the atmosphere. So what are the keys in this race? I mean, this is my first time here. I've obviously done a lot of Le Mans 24-hour races, but you've got 75 cars, probably a huge performance spread, small track. Tell us about the race itself.
Yeah, it's very difficult. Unlike things like Le Mans, you know, GT class is the lowest class there. Here we've got everything from the GT3, GT2 cars down to the smaller Renault Clios and CS like that. So, you know, traffic... It's similar to speed differences compared to like LMP1, LMP2, down to GT. So traffic is a big problem for us. And, you know, there are also a lot of amateur drivers here. So you've got to be careful. And it's definitely one of the biggest challenges during the race. Because, you know, as you know, one bit of contact with a car and your race is over. You spend too long in the pits.
Now, the other slightly different thing about this race is there's much more darkness than normal 24-hour races. I mean, I know that a lot of drivers actually like it in the dark, don't they? Are you one of these guys who likes to get in there, it's cooler and darker?
Yeah, I love it. Obviously, if you know the track well, it helps because then you know exactly what you're doing. If you're a little bit unfamiliar, it becomes very difficult when it is pitch black. But Dubai is one of the darker circuits, a little bit like Spa and Silverstone, perhaps. But, yeah, I enjoy it. Other drivers maybe not, but we all have to do it at the end of the day and just get through it in one piece.
Now, what sort of race car is this SLS? Because it looks very different from the other GT3 cars. It's a front mid-engine car. It's got a massive bonnet and you're sitting far back. I know that doesn't really affect you guys, but I mean, how is it as a race car?
Actually, I haven't driven it yet.
That's a good question then.
I've come from the Porsche Super Cup. I race in that and I race for Porsche all around the world. But I haven't actually driven the SLS yet, so this will be the first time today. I've heard it's quite an easy car to drive with all this traction.
But very different from a Porsche, where the engine's in the back and it's a special knack, and when you've got that knack, you know, a Porsche driver with a knack is faster than even a fantastic driver who hasn't got the knack.
Exactly. I think coming from the Cup car, it's one of the most difficult, or is the most difficult GT car to drive. So driving something like this with all the electronic aids and influences should be quite easy. But, you know, any car at the limit is difficult to drive. But I'm definitely looking forward. Completely different, as you said, to what I've driven before. But I'm looking forward to it.
And a stellar team. You've got your own Brilleke Molen and Thomas Jaeger. I don't know, Carl Ed, is he a gentleman driver or is he a professional driver from the round here?
He's our gentleman driver, but you know he's one of the quicker ones. He races alongside myself and Jerome in the Porsche Super Cup, and he's maybe only a second off us. So you know, as gentleman driver goes, he's only his third year of racing, but he is very good. He's from Abu Dhabi, and like I said, we do have one of the strongest lineups here, so we should be going for the win.
I mean, it's a good point. There are so many really quick cars. I mean. Is it a case of, you know, you would expect in a one-hour race, we'd see a lot of wheel-to-wheel. Are you going to have to really temper everything back because there's a lot of guys who can go a similar speed?
Yeah, obviously, there are a lot of professional drivers here and some amateurs. It's depending on what pairing you've got. And I think, you know, 24-hour race, obviously Le Mans and Spa like that, the cars are so reliable. We are pretty much flat out, like in Daytona as well, which actually myself and Jerome have just come from Daytona, so we're fresh off the US. It is a bit more flat out. And here, especially regulations, you know, you have to pick your time for qualifying. And you can't go faster than that in the race. So let's say our car can do a 202 round here. But, you know, if you do a 202 in qualifying, you've got 100 kilos and less fuel. So strategically, it's a big part. The team have a big part to play. And then we have to just basically limit our damage and just drive at that pace for the race and keep out of the pits.
So that's an interesting point here, and very different from other events, that you go out and you qualify. Qualify sets your base time, which you're allowed to go no faster than during the race itself to stop sandbagging, but there are penalties attached to that. So what's the bigger penalty? Is it less fuel or more weight? What's that more of a problem?
I think the fuel, because obviously the longer you can go, the less time you stay in the pits. So I think the fuel aspect, if you go, I think it's under 204, you start to get down to 90-litre tank. We're running, I think it's 110 in this car. So It's a difficult compromise. It depends how fast your driver lineup is and the car. You know, if you can easily do a 205 in the race, then you try and benchmark against that. But if you think you're going to be losing more time in traffic, there's no point in going too fast in qualifying, only to ruin your race. You know, just to start at the front of the grid, as we all know, 24-hour race doesn't really matter where you start. It's all about the strategic element of it.
Sure, thank you very much. And it makes qualifying even more enjoyable, that's for sure. But Jim is now with another one of our Nissan friends.
I thought you were doing a Tyler's Long one there for a minute. Yeah. Dickie Maiden joins me now, part of this great Nissan team. And how do you rate these youngsters?
It's quite amazing, actually. I was lucky enough to be here in 2009 when Lucas first made his sort of 24-hour debut, and he did a brilliant job then, and he's just gone from strength to strength since. So I think he's an inspiration for the guys that followed him. So it'll be interesting to see how they get on in the same car.
It's big shoes to fill. He has done an outstanding job and has become a star in his own right.
Yeah, very much so. I think he's going to be quite a hard guy to achieve more than him, but I think you can see the hunger and ambition in the other guys' eyes, so they'll be hot on his heels, I think.
They look like serious racers, don't they? Over there, their hands on their... they're ready.
Yeah, they've perfected the race face, definitely.
Now, how about you? It's January 11th. It's about 25 degrees, and it's pretty nice, isn't it?
It's beautiful, isn't it? I was wishing I'd got a white set of overalls rather than black, but that's European racing for you. No, it's amazing to be here.
Yeah, well, I didn't think very well either. I'm dressed all in black today.
Yeah, no, it's good to blow the cobwebs out after Christmas. And great to start the year so soon, the motorsport season so soon. It's getting a really good event, isn't it?
Yeah, this is a special place. I mean, I've been blown away with the reception, and it's rare that you come to a racetrack where they're really glad you're there.
Exactly, yeah, and everyone's got smiles on their faces, not frowns. And no, I think it's you only need to look at the quality of the cars, and some really strong categories. I think the car I'm in is an SP3, and you look through the entries, and there's a lot of competition there. So I think it's going to be a very good race.
What's this racetrack like for a driver? It looks fairly technical.
Yeah, there's lots of subtle camber changes and awkward sort of lines and entries to corners. They tighten on the exit, and the track's very wide, so you've got lots of options to confuse yourself with. I think there'll be lots of looking at data and drivers talking to one another just to see what's, you know, which is the best line. I think it's got a nice rhythm as well. You don't necessarily sense it when you first see the track layout, but you get a real flow. There's not too many really slow corners, and as you said, it's technical, so you're always concentrating.
And the wideness, I guess, in a race like this where you have so many entries, over 70 entries, up to 75 entries, gives you some options in the middle of the night when people make mistakes.
Yeah, very much so. And I think, you know, every circuit needs some overtaking opportunities, and there's a number of them here, I think, with the tighter corners leading onto longer straights into tighter corners again. So you've got... It does punish mistakes, I think. So you know, it's not going to be a procession by any means.
Well, best of luck to you. Keep the kids in line and keep it on the blacktop.
I'll do my best.
Do you hear that Nissan fire up? This is a group here that have got a lot of high hopes.
Well, I think they've come here with a couple of stellar teams. The you see how well the GT3 GTR, because of that quickly goes. But certainly in GT4, they've got a fantastic lineup, incredibly talented drivers, all found in this unique GT Academy style. There seems no reason why reliability standing, they should be there at the front. With the champions car in GT3 and obviously the GT4 cars. So as we meander up the pit lane, I want to take Jim just up the pit lane slightly. I'm not sure anyone there, because obviously it's very important that we get to see my favourite car. Now, the best looking car is the Mercedes, but my favourite car in entry is here, the 107 Vermeulen Racing, because someone is trying to do a 24-hour race with a Busch Series / ASCAR NASCAR type car, which must be nothing short of legalised insanity.
That's one way to put it. It's quite a piece of kit. It is a ASCAR. It's what would run in America, if you're listening in from the States, as an ASA car. But it's a pure stock car. This is not a thoroughbred sports car in any stretch of the imagination. This is a rubbing is racing stock car that's got big, heavy V8 power in it and big wide tires on it. And it's... I say that with a smirk, because it doesn't look with the lights that they need to run for the there's a whole disconnect here. There's a whole
it's not stickers.
Yeah, it's a whole disconnect going on, because stock cars in the United States don't have any lights. They're just stickers. Well, these are real running lights for running at night. They've obviously done some very drastic things to help with the cooling. There's some ducting and some things that you don't normally see, and yet it is a two-frame stock car.
And something I always use, who's your tires?
that's Tars. Tars.
Now, I can't see the driver, so I'm going to take a risk that one of the mechanics can speak English, and we'll just find out. Speak English? Fantastic. We are admiring your pluck, your joy de vivre in bringing a stock car to a 24-hour race. Explain the thinking behind that.
Yes, I think we are almost one of the people that tries to do a 24 hours with a NASCAR. And yeah, I mean, only testing, we'll see what happens. We are well prepared, and I am ready to... I can't wait to see what's happening.
I mean, tell us what you had to do. Obviously, you put lights on it, but what else did you have to do to change a car that's used to just going left into a race car?
Yeah, we change a lot of things. There's been a lot of work on the car. And also we make flat like a downforce car, again with the diffuser also. And it's not usual, you don't see it often, a diffuser on a NASCAR.
I think that they probably think it's black magic to use aerodynamics in NASCAR, I think, probably. I mean, you got the Hoosier tires. Are they track tires? Will they work around here?
Yes. They're pretty good. They are... Not really good, like if we have Michelins, but yeah, they are pretty good tires, yes.
So have you actually run this at a track so far? Or will this be the first time it's gone out and turned left and right? Or have you done some shakedowns in Europe?
Yeah, for this question, you will need to talk with my colleague, because he's a little bit more prepared on this fact. But he's really busy now, he's preparing the car, so if you come after the testing, we will say a lot of... We will know also a lot of things.
Don't worry, we'll be back a lot of time. This is our official favourite car. It is part of the Crazy Dutch. The Crazy Dutch coming here in NASCAR. And interestingly, one of the logos on the car is Johnny Loco. What could be better than that? Johnny Loco and the Loco team. Thanks very much.
That's right, thank you very much.
And it's absolutely fantastic that they don't appear to be yet out for the promoter test. There are two, actually, of these ASCAR, NASCAR, Busch Series Mercos, one in all black for the ASC group, and one that's actually in the colours of the recent Cars 2 Pixar film. I think, really, Jim, if you wanted to sum up the phrase, the Crazy Dutch, it's that garage.
Yes. In a word, yes.
So as we now look into the promoter test is well underway.
You spoke earlier to one of the ladies in the Diva team. I think that their paint scheme is unique and absolutely terrific. They've got the Renault is kind of a, what would you call it? It's a metallic kind of pink fuchsia.
It's metallic Barbie pink, I think you'll find.
Barbie pink.
Speaking of someone with a 9-year-old, I know what Barbie pink is.
Yeah, there you go. But all of their sponsors' names are in little hearts on the car. I think that's fantastic.
There's space for romance in motor racing yet, you know. I'll tell you what, Jim. Engine noise, Jim. Engine noise.
It's marvelous, isn't it? It's January 11th, and I'm hearing real engines.
And so many variations. I'm trying to think. I think above four, we have every sort of configuration above four cylinders. We've got four V. We've got straight sixes, V6s, straight H10s
and
12s. There's nothing we've missed out on. We're now meandering back down the pit lane as we walk. You can hear the plenty of noise of the pit boxes. Those of you familiar with Silverstone will be familiar with the fact that as you walk, well, new Silverstone, should I say, as you walk down towards pit exit, the track climbs away from you, so you end up having a kind of a wall to get up to talk to people on the side. Now, there are for all you Porsche fans, there are an awful lot of Porsche here, both in GT3, but they have their own special 997 cars as well for cup cars. And as it gets louder, because more and more cars are out of this promoter test, but it is interesting, there are a lot of Porsches here, I think, you know, in two classes, Jim, both the GT3 and their own 997 championship, as Jörg Müller decides to take the mickey out of us. See, this walking backwards and forwards is easy, Jörg. Talking's tough. You know, a bit of driving occasionally has to do.
And we go walking past and talking is especially tough for some of us.
Yeah, walking is a nightmare for me. I mean, ask me to chew gum and I'll fall over straight away. No chance of getting anything that. Now, coming up here, there are a couple of interesting silhouette cars, which as part of the equal opportunities for all, get in quite easily. There's a silhouette car. This is the number, or he's leaning on the car's the number, but it's the Bonjean car, which is an interesting silhouette vehicle. It's a GC Automobile 2, and it looks a bit like a... I say it's a Volkswagen Sirocco sort of outline, I think that'd be close to say, and it's a full space frame car, but they've obviously managed to work out which class it'd be. Now we're outside the garage of number 27, VDS Racing, known well, and they're running a Mustang!
Yes, and VDS has a long history of racing in America. VDS was a great name for many years in the second iteration of the Can-Am, and many people are very familiar with the red, white, and blue paint scheme that we see on this Mustang, number 27.
Shall we door stop, Sam, and see if they can talk to us? Excuse me, sir, do you speak English? Do you speak English? Oh, we found the second person. And your name is?
Julien Scroyen.
Now, you're here with the VDS team. Are you a driver, a mechanic?
Driver. I'm actually driving my fourth 24-hour race with this car, the Mustang. So let's hope we can finish it and...
The fourth with the Mustang?
Yeah.
So what is the Mustang like as a 24-hour car?
Well, it's quite reliable. It's very fast car in the straight lines. It's a bit heavy. We have a big engine, so it's quite funny. Sometimes a bit of drift also, but okay, it's...
Bit of drift, fantastic.
Nice car, really nice car.
So have all the 24-hour races been here? Is this the fourth time in Dubai, or have you run elsewhere with the 24-hour races?
We did actually the 24 hours of Spa with this car, 24 hours of Barcelona, and also 12 hours of Budapest that we won with this car.
Oh, well, that's congratulations. You went in Hungary. So this is your first trip to Dubai?
No, second time.
So how have your previous two events gone?
In Dubai, I came 3 years ago with a Silhouette S2, an Astra car, and we didn't finish. So.
So you have this experience in Dubai. I mean, you've done all those other 24-hour races. How does Dubai compare to the Spa 24-hour or the Barcelona 24-hour? What are the unique parts of Dubai?
Dubai is quite magical. It's a great track, very fast. The night is also very long, so it's quite something different from Spa. And yeah, the track is very nice also for the Mustangs, so we enjoy a lot.
Now, obviously, that's an interesting point, because at night, it's a long night, and it must cool down an awful lot. So does it affect the car a lot? Does it get much quicker during the night?
Yeah, because the track is a bit... the air is cooler, so it helps with the engine. And also, sometimes, during the night, drivers don't see the braking point, so we wake a bit later.
Wish you best luck and have a great weekend. So that's Mark VDS Racing, obviously well-known throughout the world of endurance racing. They've run in all sorts of things, including the GT1 Championship, World Championship, and of course many... I think actually they were at Le Mans a couple of years ago with some Ford GT1 cars. I might be getting my GT1s mixed up. I think Romain Grosjean was driving for them. I'll be corrected on the Facebook collective about 3 seconds after this particular statement, I'm sure.
When you just have to know, ask the Nissan Pit Lane team. In the pits, in the paddock, in the know. The Nissan Pit Lane team. Nissan, we know sports cars.
Thanks very much, Nick. Nick Damon and Jim Roller down there in the pit lane. for RadioLeMans.com. And don't forget our full live and exclusive coverage of the 7th edition of the Dunlop Dubai 24 hours here on Radio Le Mans from the 12th to the 14th of January.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, go to www.radiolemans.com. Radio Show Limited. We talk to the world.